Go ahead now, along with the Facebook Live, the podcast audio is recording. Good decibels, motherfucker. All right, so shit's going down, whatnot, what have you, this, that, and the other. Let's just get straight down to it.
William Jackson calls me the N-word in front of my mother.
That's right!
No, I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more. Well, I wake up in the morning, fold my hands and pray for rain. I got a head full of ideas that are driving me insane. This is shame.
In Father Teresa's wine cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
And people just being total fucking assholes. Let's take a look at that on the inside. Alright. WineCellarMedia.com. William J. Black ass motherfucker. The darkest atheist. Son of a brisket you ever want to see around here. I tell ya what. Alright. Now, Phoenix Kaleeder is sick. She is an ill person. Not doing well. Alright. Let's go ahead and I barely ever tweet the program. Check this out. I'm tweeting the wine cellar. Look at that. And that's on the Twitters. They don't let you change your Twitter handle. You make it. You got it. Like, I damn near want to just delete this fucking account. But it's the Black Podcast. But then the thing is still at the Father Teresa from the old fucking Father Teresa's wine cellar days. So it's like, dat gummit and dat nabbit. I tell you, man. And, you know, I don't think that's a fair deal. I don't think that's a fair deal at all. Alright, now, Ricky L. Hines, he made a post, in the socialized, privately owned social networks about, you know, just, talking about the, just putting the idea, and which, and it's not a sad idea, it just, It reminds you of a sad reality, a true, honest answer to that idea. And it was like, can we set a date, right? Can we set a date on when we would end toxic masculinity among black colorfied folk? And Jesus Christ, you know what? I couldn't possibly think of setting a date. And that's And I'll get into that towards the end of this episode. There's some headlines, a story here and there to get to, a little bit of audio to play. Donald Trump likes cake. This shit moves too fast. I know it's old, but I'm just picking out. At this point, I'm picking out the Donald Trump stories that amuse me the most. Because really, this is just going to be, I mean, if the motherfucker kicks it for 4 years, like, it's just going to be a 4-year fuck stack of shit. It's gonna be worthy of like a fucking 8-hour documentary. It's going to be fucking ridiculous. Alright, share it into the Wine Cellar Podcast Friends Group. Alright, GoFundMe.com/PhoenixAndWilliam. We need that tax return. We be needing that tax return. Alright, so, what the fuck is going on here? Right, so yeah, Black Masculinity with Ricky L. Hines, and I'm gonna go over that thread. There's a message to Temple students by Mumia Abu Jamal. There's the LGBT news update. E.W. Jackson says religion is one of the most dangerous things in the world. Think about that one. Fox host, are Democrats Fox host is asking, are Democrats going to be for something or just anti-Trump? And there's also a special election going on in Georgia next week, and that's what it's related to. There's a support group that was formed for sex workers who are mothers. Nairobi sex workers want a research code of conduct. We have some audio from some transgender students, young folks in Texas, and they're speaking about being under attack. All right, and we might as well go ahead and get on with the bloody Moral Monday. That's how you would say it, right? That's your thing. I believe so. Right? You really got it. You got to get focused on it.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
Yo, welcome to Moral Monday, and you better peep the news and comment on March 17th. We got sex workers' rights, coalitions, and unions. Tune into the wine cellar so you know what they're doing. E.W. Jackson back in it with silly shit. Buck dancing so hard his ankles gon' really split. Liam Winslet, trans rights activist, trying to save lives, damn right, that's the shit. Ricky L. Hines opened up discussion on black masculinity and what's disrupting. And what's the goal? What can we suit for? We slipped up, right? What's the goal? What date can we shoot for? I don't have one in mind, just ways we can do more. Yo. Like Bill O'Reilly, we do it live! Fucking thing sucks! Alright, motherfuckers. Alright, so we got some shit damn and some fucking doogle. I'll be checking for comments for folks that are tuned into the Facebook Live as it's happening and not catching the archive, right? All right, so of course this is a social justice for adults. Now there's a sex workers education and advocacy task force at and they're SWEAT, right? SWEAT, SWEAT, sex workers education and advocacy task force. And then there's also Mothers for the Future, and that's the brainchild of a Dudzil Jimani, all right, who was a mother and a sex worker and an advocate for the decriminalization of sex work. And she identified the need for a platform and a support group for, and I think this is speaking particularly to cisgender female sex workers, right, and their M4F members, and they're encouraged to do outreach in their communities. This might be in the form of sex education, caring for orphaned children, and encouraging other, and, you know, they're speaking particularly to cisgender female sex workers to join the organization SWEAT, Sex Workers Education and Advocacy Task Force. And they'd like for folks to join up, helping other members in times of crisis. Right, and for example, when they are sick and not earning anything, right, that's fucking important, right? Like, you're sick and you can't fucking work, and there isn't like a whole lot of sex workers insurance companies out there. Staying on sex workers' rights, Nairobi sex workers, they are interested in a research code of conduct. All right, Nairobi, sex workers who made the headlines in the early 1990s when researchers announced that a small group appeared to be immune to HIV. What? All right. And these folks, they want to establish a code of conduct for researchers in an attempt to get some benefit from the decades of studies that they have taken part in. They also want some sort of meaningful involvement in the research. All right, the idea was born in Cape Town during a conference in March when a group of Nairobi sex worker delegates watched three South African sand groups launch a code of ethics for researchers intended to discourage the kind of study that was to the mutual benefit of both the sand and researchers. All right. And let me just take a little looky-poo and see if there are comments of some sort. There's Raymond Loco said, that's a legit question for where the Dems are right now. Ooh, spoiler. And he said he finally caught the shiz. Yeah, live, Negro man. It's just gosh diddly darn it, Phoenix is not well. She was, like, throwing up and whatnot. Got her some iced tea. She likes drinking the iced tea, so see if we can't get some fluids running through. Iced tea, water, you know, maybe some sort of juicy juice, if you will. All right. All right, let me get back to the shit dam. Oop, bibby doop. All right, now, Liam Winslet. All right, and again, these full notes will be in a Patreon-only post. Behind the scenes, Liam Winslet is a 28-year-old individual and an activist involved with an organization, Collectivo Intercultural Transgender... Woo! Transgrindindo. All right, it's very Hispanified, I tell you what. Now, and these folks, they promote respect and equality for the trans community. And it's, and Liam Winslet worked, to make sure, the Queen's first ever Transgender Day of Remembrance held entirely in, Spanish ran smoothly. I think, they might be talking about Queens, New York. I'm not sure. All right, now, she set up the PowerPoint slides, which displayed images of transgender women killed across the country. She played music over the sound system. Every so often, she paused to take a sip of water and snap a quick photo on her phone with friends. So she produced. She's a producer. Like, somebody pay this lady for this. Latin America is home to one of the world's highest rates of violence against LGBTQIA community. Between 2008 and 2016, there were 1,711 reports of murdered trans and gender diverse people. Gender diverse, that's fly. Gender diverse people in Central and South America. Now, accounting for 78%. Of murders worldwide, according to a report from the Trans Respect versus Transphobia Worldwide. This is a news outlet, and it's also a project operated through the advocacy group Transgender Europe. Now, in August 2014, she found out that she had successfully qualified for political asylum. She says that She cried like a baby in her lawyer's office when she found out, and she is currently in the process of applying for her green card. Quote, I didn't think about it, Winslet says of her 2 years of becoming documented, continuing the quote. It was a total relief when I got my papers, because there is a point where you see something as unreachable, but I've always thought that things happen for a reason, end quote. And again, the full story and links and whatnot and how I put the show notes together will be in the Patreon-only post of the program. All right. Now, let's get into... So, folks know, if you go to winecellarmedia.com, you look up the hashtag goodcops, you're gonna get just... like, what I'm still building is just a long list, but, you know, it's like but it's like in one particular source. Like you can go straight to the wine cellar and get that source, and I'll be building this for years as long as the wine cellar exists and as long as we have what little bit of free and open internet we have. This list will be here of rapist cop stories. And, you know, I'm working on adding in more like intercontinental, international stories of these, right? So we're kind of going to go over to another part of the planet here. And this is very short, in India today, right? Now, in what is seen as a horrific reminder of the 2005 Marine Drive rape case, yet another cop from Mumbai, from the Mumbai police force, is accused of raping a 15-year-old girl. The incident took place in the Mokata village of Dindori, Tinsil, in the Nashik district. Now, the accused, Gorakh, Skeher, is a police constable, buckle number 09-5978, and is attached to the Baikula police station in Mumbai. It is alleged that he lured the minor and raped her in an isolated spot. Accused Shekre has been arrested under Section 376 and sections of the POSCO, POSCO. Sekar was presented before a holiday court in Nashik and has been remanded to police custody until until actually this month. So we'll be seeing where this one goes. The parents of the victim have also said that their daughter has some mental difficulties. Relatives are saying that the police were initially dragging their feet to register a case as the accused is a cop as well. And the parents also say that the girl was asked difficult questions before registering a case. Right, so, you know, mental difficulties, so we're talking, you know, cross-up ableism and rape culture, and good cops being good cops, right? Jesus fucking Christ, checking for comments, not catching a dat-gummit thing, and I feel okay about that. Oh, excuse me. Alright. And more folks are still commenting, and Ricky O. Hines did make that a public post, so the link to that post will also be in the extended show notes, and I'll be, quoting directly from that post. Alright, so let's go on ahead to the, LGBT news update with Lavender Media, Big Gay News. Alright. Go ahead and take that in a little bit there.
Whoop. It's now time for Big Gay News, brought to you by Lavender Media. This is Andy Lean in Minneapolis, and here are your headlines for Monday, April 17th, 2017.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
First up, Big Gay News from Florida. Orlando newspaper gets Pulitzer nod for Pulse Gay Club massacre coverage. Pink News reports that Orlando's newspaper has been recognized with a Pulitzer Prize citation for its coverage of the Pulse Gay Club massacre. The Orlando Sentinel was on the front lines of the mass shooting, running extensive coverage of the shooting, the aftermath, and telling the stories of the victims, their families, and the first responders and medical teams that helped to save the lives of those in the nightclub. Although the Pulitzer was awarded to Oakland's East Bay Times for its coverage of the ghost ship fire, the staff of the Orlando Sentinel expressed its honor at being one of the finalists for the prestigious prize, giving kudos to writers, photographers, and the editorial team as a whole for handling the story that affected many of them, as well as the local community. Next up, Scottsdale restaurant closes amid federal gay harassment lawsuit. KTAR News reports that a Scottsdale restaurant has closed its doors just 2 months after being sued by the federal government for allegedly allowing the harassment of homosexual employees. Fifth and Wine, which had been sued in late January by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission on behalf of two employees, one gay and one straight, who said that they had been subjected to innuendos, touching, name-calling, and inappropriate comments that they alleged were ignored by the management, gave notice of its demise with a two-sentence post on its website. According to the EEOC, one of the men claimed that he had been fired after notifying the restaurant management that he was intending to take legal action. The two men are seeking compensatory and punitive damages, as well as back pay. Next up, Texas bill allows recusals for issuing gay marriage licenses. The Star Tribune reports that legislators in the nation's largest conservative state of Texas sought Tuesday to chip away at the landmark Supreme Court decision legalizing gay marriage, voting to let county judges and other elected officials recuse themselves from issuing marriage licenses if they have personal religious objections. Preliminary approval of the bill is won in the Senate with a vote of 21-10, with all Republicans supporting it and all but one Democrat opposing it. Supporters of the bill say that not proposing such a bill is tantamount to discriminating against the people of faith by forcing people such as judges, clerks, justices of the peace, and other elected officials to perform a service that goes against their personal moral standards. Those who oppose the bill say that it sanctions discrimination by defying the nation's highest court, and that if the bill does become law, it will almost certainly be challenged in federal court as being unconstitutional. For our final story, trans woman strangled to death after a drag show in Honduras. Gaysar News reports that a trans woman who also performed in drag was strangled to death in Honduras. Sherilyn Montoya, 29, went missing after appearing at the Divas in Drag show and was discovered a few days later, wrapped in sacks and discarded in an alley next to a gas station in the capital of Tegucigalpa. Asociacion LGTB Aquaris General Coordinator Donnie Reyes said that the situation regarding the murder of GLBTI people in Honduras is nothing more than simply savagery based in religious fundamentalism, a press that contributes to and promotes hatred, and a lack of action by the state to take positive action in punishing those who commit such crimes. That's it for today. Thanks to Linda Rains for compiling the stories. I'm Andy Lean in Minneapolis. Join us and tweet your take on today's stories on Twitter at the handle Big Gay News.
The news is a shit show these days, and we're here to give you a break from the white supremacist media bullshit by bringing you the shitty news so that you can feel less like shit, because you know the people discussing all the fucked up shit give a shit about you and the shitty situations you deal with every day. So shit. Pour yourself a glass and settle in for Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me.
All right. Now, let's go over here to, E.W. Jackson. E.W. Jackson, he's one of the first, I did not have the back screen going for the Facebook Live folks. Podcast listeners, you don't give a shit. But the picture show was not going. Now, E.W. Jackson, back when I, when I was first doing the first 20 episodes or so, I covered E.W. Jackson because I was mostly just covering funny Christians and right-wingers. Like, that's most of what the program was just making fun of funny Christians and right-wingers. And he actually said on a segment, and it was like a thing where people were like, you know, the same people keep calling Obama an atheist and a Muslim, and that was just an ongoing thing, and this motherfucker actually said it as a guest on a show, and he realized what he said when he did, and he was like, and I don't even know how that's possible, but he actually said that he's an atheist and a Muslim, and I don't know how that's possible, and then kept talking like he didn't just say some weird shit. It's like, no, you stick to that weird shit you just said, elaborate. Well, E.W. Jackson is back, and he's even smarter, alright? There we go. Let's make sure we get the full EW. All right, this audio's gonna come in hot, all right?
Running around, telling people, now, sister, you know, walking up down the street, sister, you need to, you know, that's blouse, that shirt's cut a little too low. You need to move that up. Sister, that skirt's a little too high. You need to let that down. I guarantee you the police would show up and tell you, shut up and go home.
Okay, so E.W. Jackson knows things that you don't know. So if you were to, and I'm sure that, you know, we know who, what, you know, whether you're cis or trans or femme, we know who the majority of the folks that check out this program are. Folks, if someone came up to you and you were wearing like a, some sort of skirt or dress type of garment, and they were like, hey, listen here, that don't look right to me, and I want you to change it, the police will show up and stop him, right? That's what E-Dub is coming with. E-Dub is telling you that will happen. The police fellers will come up and stop you from doing that there. All right?
Up and tell you, shut up and go home.
Hmm.
I guarantee you they would. Now, the police have said they can't do anything about this. there's nothing they can do about it. By the way, this guy, Rashid.
Oh.
Abdullah Rashid, 22. He is sporting...
That name sounds kind of Islam. It sounds either Islamic or it sounds like American Negro.
A uniform marked Muslim Defense Force.
Hey, why can't a nigga wear a uniform that says Muslim Defense Force? Like, especially, I don't know if this nigga's on this continent that he's talking about, but if you're on this continent and you're a Muslim, you probably want to fortify some defense against the attacks coming your way.
And apparently the other patch on the other side says religious police.
Okay, let's keep going.
I mean, can you imagine that? Somebody walking around your town, your city, a Muslim walking around with a uniform that says religious police, Muslim defense force. That was bad enough having Louis Farrakhan running around with the Fruit of Islam with their little black suits and bow ties, you know, standing up trying to look like Secret Service agents or something.
So the fuck what? Well, I mean, when it comes down to it, it's the fact that Farrakhan's ideas are bad. Not their fucking costumes.
That's bad enough. But this... Oh, and by the way, he also sports what appears to be an ISIS flag on this uniform.
Oh.
Now, they say police can't do anything. They better be watching this guy, because I think this guy is a potential time bomb.
Oh.
But they can't do anything.
Alright, so the police need to be watching this guy because he wants to defend Muslims with force.
You'll also be interested to know this. Before he became Abdullah Rashid, his name was Devin James Miller.
That still sound black. That's still, come on, DJ Miller, and the D is for Devin. That still sound black, but he don't like it because he went to get just, why you gotta be all Muslim-y?
And he happens to be white.
Oh, that's awesome. That is fan. So a white Muslim with a tall, light-skinned basketball-playing nigga name. Devin James Miller, you know that's a tall, light-skinned basketball-playing nigga name. And a nigga that still wears, like, zigzag braids. You know what I'm saying? One of them niggas that's like, it's still 1999 far as he's concerned.
He married a Somali woman and converted, and now he's a soldier of Islam.
You understand the level of buck dancing with which you are privy to in this moment. All right. He is, because you know his audience is predominantly white Southern Christian folk that see him as one of the well-behaved ones that knows his place. That's what E.W. Jackson is. And he is proud to be it. And so he is presenting himself as the one who is angry that the white Christians lost a soldier and lost a man at that. A white man, the true patriarch, lost one to some colored woman from Islamistan. That ain't right.
Now, there's some concern that the man may be mentally ill.
Nigga, is that just something you're saying as a pejorative? Come on, Dub.
And I don't doubt that he probably is.
Okay.
But either way, it seems to me he's a potential danger to himself and others. And maybe he needs to be committed.
Maybe.
But certainly taken off the street.
But not no motherfuckers with alt-right haircuts, not no, right? Like, you still realize the Klan is still out there. Like, Klan members are just chilling. Like, that's a fucking government-sponsored, allowed-to-roam, motherfuck-free terrorist organization. Let's not forget that that during the uprising in Ferguson, the Klan went there and the police guarded the Klan from the evil Negroes. So the shit is recent. And Richard Spencer, I can't cover that Richard Spencer shit. It's also so goofy, but yeah, real quick, Richard Spencer called for a response to Antifa that wears all white. Richard, that already exists.
This guy could erupt into an Islamic jihadist, it seems to me, at any moment, if he's walking around the street telling women what they can and cannot wear. Folks, religion is one of the most dangerous things in the world.
Now, so E.W. Jackson just said religious is one of the most dangerous things in the world. And I get why, because he's saying that when it's that religion. Let's see if he fixes it up in his last few seconds here.
Religion is.
Uh-huh. But let me guess, we're not religious, we have faith.
Some people say, exactly. That's why Christianity is so dangerous. Christianity is not a religion, folks.
Oh, no. Don't do it.
Christianity is not a religion. Duh. Christianity is a relationship.
With who? With who? An unproven deity. A group of people that you pretend to like in a building every week where, as George Carlin said, to compare clothing. A hierarchy, and I'll say a patriarchal hierarchy, and some folks would be like, wait, but when you were in foster care, you had to attend a church where the pastor was Edna E. Travis, a woman. Yes. And who did Pastor Travis tell you all to serve? That man, God. And then when Pastor Travis violated her 501c3 in 2000, she didn't say, there's some low down ballot women I want you to vote for. She said, go vote for George Bush to defend Israel. It is a patriarchal hierarchy. Exactly the same as the Muslimators from Islamistan.
Of God's people, with him as father. Huh? Jesus as Lord.
Huh?
It is a living relationship.
They don't know which one they want to be which. So him is Father, Jesus is Lord. And see, and that's that shit, man. So the story is something that you can't prove exists. Raped a virgin. A ghost raped a virgin to give birth to himself. To sacrifice himself to himself. Because of the way the lemmings that he controlled behaved, because he let them behave that way. That's why you don't even discuss this shit. I don't understand why people still pretend to debate with Christians. They're not even trying to make sense. They're not behaving like adults just by being Christian.
We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And we live and breathe and have our being in him.
In him. Him. Man, patriarchy, baby. All right. It still says two comments. I hope it's not like how it goes sometimes where it's like there's 13 comments and I only see two.
It's not religion. It's reality.
Is it a relationship or is it reality? See, niggas don't know what the fuck they're doing. All right, so it went from religion is evil to Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship, to Christianity is a reality. Not it is reality, it's just a reality. And Phoenix Cleeter wanted me to deliver this update. Alex Jones' lawyers are afraid. Well, they're not afraid, they're just doing their job as lawyers and saying that he's putting on an act. Oh, get the fuck out of here. Nobody would have considered that over here, buddy. All right. Now let's, now folks, remember Mumia Abu-Jamal and Prison Motherfucking Radio. So let's head on over there. Oh, Jesus Christ, let's bring that down for the Facebooks. That shit is video radio. It's video-fied radioization. And Mumia Abu-Jamal has a message for students of Temple University. I believe they call it, Almi Matters, Alma Modifiers, and whatnot. So, Mumia Abu-Jamal, Prison Radio.
Hey, y'all. On the move. Thanks, Brandon, for inviting me back to Temple. You know, years ago, I sold Black Panther newspapers here. I also worked on Temple's radio station, the jazz icon known as WRTI, doing commercials and commentaries. Can students have an impact, not just on campus, but in the community? My answer, of course. Because most students are young. They don't yet have kids. Because of that, you're now living your freest selves that you will ever be. For many, it's your first time being away from home. Also, you're reading about facts, ideas, histories, narratives that you never heard of in high school, nor ever saw on TV. So I say enjoy that freedom, relish it, but also use it. What you learn today will cast light or shadow on your lives to come. So dare to learn, dare to study, dare to question, then dare to act. In many ways, schools seek to mold you, to tame you, to teach you obedience and acquiescence. There's a reason why fields of study are called disciplines. It's not by accident. I think education should be for liberation. It should lead you to ask questions and then to answer them for yourself. For blacks in America, the simple act of reading was once a serious crime. Education opened the cages of bondage. So study, dare to learn, dare to act. Study as if your life depended on it, for in a way, it does. For your life is your mind. And the struggle for freedom in America has ever been the right to think your own thoughts, to swim in your own ideas. Remember this. Youth make the revolution. Almost always. Castro in Cuba was a very young man when he began the struggle. Huey P. Newton, who co-founded the Black Panther Party with Bobby Seale, was all of 24 years old. 24. So don't say what you can't do. Do what you want to do. Think on this. Education is for liberation. So thanks, Brandon. Thanks to the Black and Brown Coalition, the Black Student Union, the Haitian Students Union, the Asian Students, and Black Law Students. I love you all. Keep working. Keep doing what you're doing. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abdul-Jabbar.
This show is fucked up.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
All right, GoFundMe.com/PhoenixAndWilliam. Gosh diddly darn it. All right, let's head on down here. What the hell? All right. Donald Trump. He fucking does stuff. I don't even know if I want to talk over it. Like, let's just bask in it.
When you were with the president of China, you're launching these military strikes. Was that planned? How did that come about that it's happening right then? Because right there you're saying, a reminder, here's who the superpower in the world is. You have
me. Yeah, like, right, so he's Jesus Christ. Donald Trump was kicking it with... God damn it, I thought I had her name in the notes. Fucking Christ. Oh, I'm disappointed. Disappointed in me. What up? Oh, shit. Man, Jesus Christ. I lost her name in the notes. The person interviewing Trumpelstiltskin. And that is on me. Alright. Alright, back to it. So, yeah, so he's kicking it with niggas and Bustin, I think her name was Maria, he's being interviewed by. All right, here we go.
No idea how many people want to hear the answer to this. I have watched speculation for 3 days now on what that was like.
When did you tell us?
But I'll tell
before
you.
Before dessert?
But I will tell you.
And keep in mind, like, see, and remember, this motherfucker, he plays word association with himself. All right, that's what the fuck he does. Like, I can't wait till the fucking next State of the Union. He's just going to be playing word association with himself. The person interviewing him is Maria Bartiromo. if you will. Watch. Well, watch the word association.
I have watched speculation for 3 days now on what that was like.
When did you tell me?
But I'll tell
before
you.
Before dessert?
But I will tell you. Only because you've treated me so good for so long, I have to tell you, right?
Right. Oh, he has to tell you because you treated him so good for so long. It just means if you pander to him. And he's so easy to pander to. My goodness, he's basic. He's big, big grown-ass little boy.
I was sitting at the table. We had finished dinner. We're now having dessert. And we had the most beautiful piece of chocolate cake that you've ever seen.
And he actually did. He motioned with his hands like how fucking big, like, this is way bigger than Obama's chocolate, if you know. But yeah, like, just obsessed with that shit. Like, goddamn, Marco Rubio mentioned your hands in the primary and you're still bugging. Right? Like, keep in mind, like, I think I pointed this out before. Like, the penis thing with men. And, because, like, what do they keep saying about the inauguration? The size of the crowd, right? Not the numbers of the crowd, not the population of the crowd, the size. They overemphasize the word size. It's weird. It's creepy. Stop it.
And President Xi was enjoying it. And I was given the message from the generals that the ships are locked and loaded. What do you do?
His choppy talking is like he's lying and making up the story off the top of his head. It really is like a child that's simply just trying to, the short-term gain of lying to not get in trouble. That's what he sounds like.
And we made a determination to do it. So the missiles were on the way. And I said, Mr. President, let me explain something to you. This is during dessert. We've just fired 59 missiles, all of which hit, by the way, unbelievable, from, you know, hundreds of miles away.
Oh, my God. Like, the way he talks, it's like he's constantly, like, he started promoting hotels, and he never got out of that mode. Just never got out of that fucking mode. Run that back. Listen to the way he fucking talks about, again, it's just off the top of his head. He's a freestyler.
Which hit, by the way, unbelievable, from, you know, hundreds of miles away. All of which hit. Amazing.
Unmanned. Brilliant.
It's so incredible. It's brilliant. It's genius. Our technology, our equipment is better than any.
She said unmanned. You see, he couldn't word association with that because he doesn't know what the fuck that means. He had to dance over that because he didn't know what the fuck she meant. He probably doesn't know that drones don't have a pilot in them. This is the type of fothermucker you're dealing with. Like I said before, yo, somebody, if one of you press corps niggas comes across this podcast, ask him what he's going to do to stop the fourth branch of government from overriding Christian liberty, and watch him answer it with a straight motherfuck face.
All of which hit, by the way, unbelievable, from
unbelievable.
You know, hundreds of miles away.
Hundreds of miles.
All of which hit. Amazing.
Unmanned.
Unmanned.
It's so incredible.
So it's incredible.
It's genius.
Genius.
Our technology, our equipment is better than anybody,
man,
by a factor of five. I mean, what we have in terms of technology, nobody can even come close.
Our missiles had Wi-Fi, and we put free and open internet all over them. We had an explosion of net neutrality that served 36 clients.
To competing. Now we're going to start getting it because, you know, the military has been cut back and depleted so badly by the past administration and by the war in Iraq, which was another disaster. So what happens, as I said, we've just launched 59 missiles.
You see, and that's why them niggas that call themselves the alt-right are pulling away, like you're trying to play libertarian and war hawk at the same fucking time, and they don't like that shit. You know, I really don't get why libertarians are so fucking silly. All right, here we go.
Heading to Iraq.
Well, you headed to Syria.
Yes, heading toward Syria. And I want you to know that.
She just had to fucking correct him. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. When we typically say someone doesn't know what they're talking about, they're uninformed. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care to know. He's not trying to actually be an informed person. He's just playing, essentially. That's his entire life, is playing.
Heading toward Syria. and I want you to know that. Because I didn't want him to go home. We're almost finished. It was a full day in Palm Beach. We're almost finished. And I, what does he do? Finish his dessert and go home. And then they say, you know, the guy you just had dinner with just attacked
him. How did he react?
So he paused for 10 seconds. And then he asked the interpreter to please say it again. I didn't think that was a good sign. And he said to me, anybody that uses gases, you could almost say, or anything else, but anybody that was so brutal and uses gases to do that to young children and babies, it's okay.
He agreed.
He was okay with it. He was okay.
Yeah. Hey, he thought I was cool. He said you're cool, Mr. Donald Trumpin' man. All right, and on the way, what we have coming up is still going to go over the thread that Ricky L. Hines put up. But before that, all right, good. Okay, so play the audio of the transgender youth, right? And we'll play the audio of them talking about being under attack in Texas. We'll go to Jim Hightower, and then we'll go to the thread about black masculinity. Can you dig it? I think you can.
The possibility of having someone draw a gun on me because they think I'm in the wrong bathroom is really terrifying.
Texas is my home, and sadly, my home is an extremely hostile place.
We're just trying to live and be human beings like everybody else, but some people like to make it a lot more complicated.
Following North Carolina's lead, Republicans in the Texas State Senate recently advanced SB 6, a bill that would prevent transgender Texans from using the bathroom that aligns with their gender identity.
When you label a certain group as unwanted, and you're using a trope of perverted people doing horrible things, you are opening the door to allow a citizen the right to be violent towards another citizen. And that is the danger that is SB 6.
Just a few minutes away from the Capitol building, we met with students at the University of Texas at Austin to talk about their feelings on SB 6 and how it will affect their experience on campus.
I'm constantly on guard and like constantly worried about my safety.
Everyone who is in a marginalized place here, for the most part, are terrified to do the wrong thing, to say the wrong thing, go to the wrong place.
We've had bleach balloons thrown at queer people, bleach balloons thrown at black people and other people of color.
It's like scary on campus to think that there might be some kind of, you know, vigilantes that, you know, spring up. It adds that extra amount of stress, knowing that, like, you know, I might have to hold it until I go home or make sure that nobody's in there and then, like, hope that nobody comes in while I'm in there.
How do you expect somebody to be successful in anything when everywhere they go, they're feeling like they have a target on their back or they feel completely unwelcome?
The entire premise of the bill is deciding where trans people are and aren't allowed to exist in public.
There needs to be a push towards making sure that allies are making themselves available. I'll go with you is a button that has been handed out for free to students that are willing to put it on their backpack to show that they're in solidarity and that they're willing to go into the restroom with someone else.
As a gay man, it's important to me to advocate because there would not be gay rights if it wasn't for trans women.
The legislators, they're trying to pass legislation on this community that they know nothing about, which was very evident from the comments that were made during the hearing and during debate on the bill.
It didn't really even seem like they cared to listen whenever the testimonies were happening. A lot of them were kind of just sitting there, like, you know, bored.
Instead of saying, like, trans people, they would say transgenders or transgender. And it's just very objectifying language that shows us how little they know about us or how little they care.
We're talking about a bill that could end up leading to violence against people. And I think that they should have been more attentive and tried to understand who we are going out and testifying against SB 6.
It's more important to them to use this as a rallying point for their constituents than our safety and our daily lives. In my testimony to them, I told them that if they pass this bill, that they will have blood on their hands.
In an insightful song about outlaws, Woody Guthrie wrote this verse. As through this world I travel, I see lots of funny men. Some will rob you with a six gun, some with a fountain pen. The fountain pens are doing the serious stealing these days. For example, while you would get hard time in prison for robbing a bank at gunpoint, bankers who rob customers with a flick of their fountain pens or a click of their computer mouse get multi-million-dollar payouts. They usually escape their crimes unpunished, but not unscathed. After all, it's their constant, egregious, gluttonous thievery that has made banker a four-letter word in America, synonymous with immoral, self-serving behavior. For example, Wells Fargo, our country's biggest consumer bank, has gotten away with paying some fines for stealing millions of dollars from customers in its notorious fake accounts scheme, but it has not escaped the wrath of the Sisters of St. Francis of Philadelphia. This feisty order of nuns, which holds a block of Wells Fargo stock, has been embarrassed and are infuriated by the rank immorality of their bank's executives. They are pushing a shareholders' proposal demanding a full accounting of, quote, the root causes of the malicious fraud perpetrated on vulnerable depositors. Unsurprisingly, the bank's aloof and arrogant board of directors, which had silently presided over the fraud for years, opposes any such meaningful probe. This is Jim Hightower saying, such recalcitrance only intensifies the public's outrage and cynicism toward out-of-control banksters. But the giant worries less about its public image than it does about the reality an in-depth investigation would expose, namely, that our nation's dominant banks have not only become too big to fail and too big to jail, but too big to manage and control. To stop that thievery, they must be broken up.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
Alright. Man, go and winecellarmedia.com, Phoenix and William. Alright, and then I just, I went ahead and dropped the link to this video. It's, and this part starts up somewhere around the 52-minute mark. I'll tell you what, somewhere around there. And so it's right in the thread, just in case anybody wants to respond to it in real time. And, so this, Ricky L. Hines, the Deuce, and, he said, black men, genuine question, when we gonna stop policing black women for, and our black LGBTQ plus peoples, question mark. From the, smallest, need to, modify their behavior, to suit our whims, to violent death and or humiliation, violent death and or humiliation, when the fuck are we going to stop this? Like, fuck, my niggas, can we at least set a target date? Question mark. Can we get together, turn the fuck up, and work out some fucking logistics, guidelines, or better, listen to the guidelines of these other black folk, that these other black folk have established for their own humanity? For real, my niggas, I want answers. I'm tired of losing black people to black people and this toxic-ass concept of black masculinity, !3 times. We need to come together to redefine it and do it quick. I'm fucking tired of us raising black boys to be monsters, !3 times. We are better than this. I see it in even the most ain't-shit niggas. Ain't shit ass niggas every day. We need to do better by non-male, additionally trans men, gay bi men, people, especially black folks. Nigga, you know how hard it is to be black. Imagine having to be black and have to deal with the violence we inflict. Correct me if I'm wrong, but a black person who fits into any of the above categories is most likely to be abused or murdered by us. Black man reading this. I'm less worried about what you've done than I am what you gon' do going forward, because that you can change. And now have an opportunity to. Don't say ain't nobody ever offered to discuss ways to help you avoid teaching your son or younger male family members to not become a sexual predator, for example. Just say you don't want to change. Be real. Oh, and BTW, least importantly, but still very important, the first person and probably the last person that toxic masculinity harms is you. Not to mention, it's much of the reason for violence against each other. Alright, that is the post from Ricky L. Hines. Deuce. He is a Negro, very black, light skin, and a leftist affiliate. Jonathan Newton came in and responded, and he said, it is our absence that I think that's the letter 8S. Our absence that I think it's creates. It's our absence that is. Okay, I see what it was. The keystroke went above the letter I and hit the letter 8 for the word is. So it is our absence that is creating the monsters, Ricky L. Hines, the deuce. When we are absent in their lives, that void of their self-image is filled with the false notions of masculinity. And indeed, when it is absent in our own lives, we passed it, false masculinity, onto our boys like a virus. When I initially spoke on black manhood, I realized how fundamentally off my sense of it was. I had to realize I too had been programmed before I could deprogram. Now I am at that point where I am learning what real manhood is, and most importantly, what it is not. All right, so what I think he's speaking to. Now, for me, I don't like absence, presence, it's a short comment, so, you know, I have to, like, speculate what the detail might be of it. But, you know, absence, presence of one that might be considered a father figure, if you will, if not a actual biological father. I think that's not really needed or terrible. Like, if he's there, you could end up being a toxic male. And if he's not there, you can end up being a toxic male. Because you still have the rest of society around you. Jordan Davenport said, I think Jordan's subscribed to the Patreon, said, I think it's more than absence of men. It's in the fabric of our system. Okay, Jordan's saying the same thing, I would say. Somebody said, real talk, sister, we're on it. I don't know what they're talking about in that comment. Juan Pedro said, I don't think we need to define manhood. That's one of the issues with masculinity, being that there are set rules on how a man should be. A decent human is what should be taught, how to not be a violent person in regard to women and men, whether LGBT or not, should be taught. Also, mental illness should not be seen as something devastatingly wrong in the black community. People should be able to get help and not feel that they are rejected because of it. I'm not saying Steve Stevens or anyone else who exhibited toxic masculinity, especially ending in the death of another person, has an excuse, but that issue needs to be addressed as well. That's a strong comment. And there's a sub-thread under that comment. It looks like it says there's 5 replies. Jonathan Newton got involved in the thread and said, also, maybe point out that there is also a toxic concept of black femininity as well. Our culture has allowed some very shrewd white supremacists to interject their idea of blackness into our consciousness, and the result is a false slash toxic masculinity and femininity. If we're honest, we should be dealing with what our concept of the black self is, and most importantly, what it is not. Now, I'm naturally masculine. I can't speak to performed or natural femininity, so I'll leave that alone. I think it's a bold comment to make. and there is a sub-thread under it. Maybe he extrapolates, but if I get into every sub-thread, this will be a 5-hour episode. Right, Raymond Loco, very young man, youngest man in the thread, came in and said, what if we had a group that was literally all about supporting each other and, holding our brothers accountable, question mark, helping each other unpack toxicity, could such a space exist? And there is a 19 reply subthread under that comment. And remember, the link to this will be in the show notes, and you can go check out the thread. Get involved yourself. I think it's interesting. Ricky Loco responded to Raymond in the open thread space, said, I think so, but it would have to be policed pretty carefully. Not to say we can't have difficult conversations, but that shit can get out of hand. Miles came along and got involved in the thread, and Miles said, how do we reverse how do we reverse a problem we don't want to acknowledge? The main problem is we as black men associate life with how much pussy we get. And if you ain't chasing it, those who are All right, I'm reading around the typos here. I'm doing my darndest to read around the typos. And if you ain't chasing it, those who will never acknowledge you. I've had this happen way too many damn times, so I can see where this guy is coming from. Shit won't change, cause it's more acceptable to be a so-called real nigga than a stand-up guy. Which, and that's very, you know, that's kind of vernacular heavy, Miles, cause just like, you know, somebody who says someone is a real nigga might also use a stand-up guy as a synonym for a real nigga. All right, Ricky L. Hines and Raymond Loco commenting some more. Hillary supporter Aaron Rand Freeman commented. Jordan Davenport came back in, said, I think it's easier to define what it's not. As far as like masculinity can express itself in a myriad of ways, but most of us can identify toxic behaviors. Yes. Also, I feel like defining it in such a definite way will leave. Oh, he thinks that doing that will leave some out and have a an opportunity for not real men, in quotes. That's an interesting comment. Interesting comment. And then noted anti-populist Hillary supporter Aaron Rand Freeman commented again. And then he has a back and forth with Jordan Davenport. And then William J. Jackson responded. And William J. Jackson said, set a date. I can't even pretend that I almost have one imagined. Around early 2015, I said something along the lines of, we need to keep increasing the numbers of folks folks like-minded and treat the performed masculinity as absurd. Tagging on to that, just as if someone was to be a guest at a family function and they started cursing at and insulting folks. You don't respect their opinion. You don't have a spirited debate from different perspectives. Such behavior is to be unacceptable, period. That's what William J. Jackson said, noted populist and anti-status quo democraticizer. Alexander Gilbert said, the problem is some people don't see what they are doing and teaching our young men is wrong. Who made up this, quote, idea, end quote, that a man isn't supposed to cry, hurt, or show emotions? Otherwise, he's labeled as weak. Fuck it. I'll be weak, and so will my sons. A problem is the absence of positive black fathers in our kids' lives, or the woman scorned who won't let the father be in his child's life. Oh, Jesus. All right, it's the woman's fault, despite every effort to be. I think it starts at home. Essentially, definitely need to hold one another accountable for our actions, especially words we say to our youth, but also at the same time said, the scorned woman won't let the father and the boys laugh. Well, you should be someone that's worth being in there. I don't go for that one, Alexander Gilbert. And then has a back and forth with Ricky L. Hines. And then Miles Beard says another comment. Said, I believe I've had black men sit here and laugh, and one day he looks like he'd shoot up the school. Oh, and you don't chase B-words, so we don't want to kick it with you. And then the next comment is just me putting in the vidya. So just in case they caught it live, they, you know that I'm putting the thread out there, and I'm putting the link to the thread out there. And if you're catching the archive, this part of it is 52 minutes in. All right, so as we proceed to head the heck out of this darn thing. What in the heck darn is that? Y'all heard them notifications over there? What was that there? I wonder if that's folks giving Phoenix Kalita some sort of notifications or something. Or they're like, oh, I sent you a private message, woman. You gotta answer me. Alright, and I put the link to this video in the Tumblr. Alright. Alex Jones is gonna tell you what he is be doing. And Alex Jones also gonna tell you what he ain't be doing. Now, Alex Jones is responding to, some of the shit with, Oh, there's Jermy Blue. Jermy Blue's a rapper. That nigga be rapping. You rapping, rapper? Link me to your new shit, motherfucker. Jermy Blue. And, alright, so Alex Jones is gonna lace you up. He is responding to stuff and things. I figured I'd close out the rest of the program with this. Let's get to it. This is fun. Whoop-a-doo.
Total bingo. Everything there's total veritas. Who can deny it? Now, I'm gonna play this and really try to not start it and stop it, because I want to come back and get into the North Korea situation with China, and it's probably 10 times bigger than this, but this is all illustrative of how our media deceives. Here's CNN trying to drive a wedge in Trump's main populist support base.
All right. Trying to drive a wedge in Trump's main populist support base. Trump's populist support base is what we call infinitesimal. All right. Trump's main support base is... the typical white supremacist Republican. That populist base, that's a few working class folks in flyover states that have no actual political power.
Trying to give us attention, hoping we do it more. I could care less about being on CNN. Trying to get us all to throw the baby out with the bathwater and be mad at Trump. When overall he's doing a great job domestically, and I understand why he did this to look strong, and he couldn't tell either way, and they also wanted to send a message to North Korea, and it seems like it's happened. And so we're going to start the clip now, and then we're going to come back with the rest of it on the other side. You know what? I'll go to the clip when we come back.
You're going to go to the clip when we come back, because now he's got some shit to say. It's tangent time. Tangent on him, Jones.
On the other side, just so we have plenty of time to get to it. And then I'll get into all the other big issues that we're facing. But alt-right turns on President Trump. We'll detail exactly what's happening there when we come back.
Alt-right turns on President Trump. All right, tell him, Jones.
Talked earlier about how Google, Media Matters, the Democrats, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, they're all bragging, hey, we've demonetized InfoWars 75%. Paul's got all the graphs. He's broken that down last week.
All right, but the motherfucker that runs Media Matters, David Brock, that nigga played a major role in getting Uncle Clarence on the Supreme Court.
They're bragging how they kicked us off Google Ads via AdRoll. They brag how they're not letting they're age restricting us, and you know, just mild videos that we cover that would never be age restricted on CNN. They are strangling us 100 different ways, basically. And admit it, understand, they've sold this to the left that, oh, it's cute and fun if we shut up the nationalists, the patriots, what they call the alt-right. That's a form of dehumanization. I'm not the alt-right. I'm a libertarian.
You're on that fucking, you've been on that train. All right, but he's not the alt-right. He's a libertarian, which is why them niggas that call themselves the alt-right are jumping ship. A lot of those motherfuckers are like those men's rights activists and shit. They're fucking libertarians.
Who really wants prosperity and freedom for everybody.
All right? He really wants freedom and prosperity for everybody. All right? Let's give that a head start.
Who really wants prosperity and freedom for everybody.
And what?
I fight real racism.
Yep.
I fight real classism. Yep. I want prosperity.
All right, Alex Jones fights real racism. Alex Jones fights real classism. All right, so, and I guess by that he means reverse racists that are saying Black Lives Matter and put pigs in a blanket, which is awesome. If it, like the very like three people that said that, they're fantastic. All right, good job. Fights real classism. All right, nigga. Fights real classism. I think Alex Jones' father was a dentist, so that sort of income was coming into the household when he was growing up. You know, I said this before, you know, but let's expand it a little bit more. This is like the expansion part 3. Right, so he fucking goes straight to college from high school. Tough guy. Straight to radio from college. Like, he got into radio, like, in his fucking early to mid-20s. And then from there, covered the Waco shit, blew the fuck up, got national, and then, you know, you high-speed internet comes along, you know, he starts webcasting, and he's just been doing that his whole fucking life, like, but he fights real classism. And I remember, when I first started checking out his program, like, somewhere in those mid 2015 archives, he actually said, you know, he was surprised that folks in the military were banging his shit, you know, and like pumping his show and podcast and wearing his InfoWars t-shirts and whatnot, that military niggas was wearing that shit, because he was like, oh, I thought I always spoke for and to the proletariat. He actually said the word proletariat, and he was like, oh, but now the warrior class is checking me out. So maybe somewhere in his dishonest ass head, he actually thought that, you know, he was kicking the shit for the working laborers. And you know what, on some level kind of was. All, you know, like, he was one of the people that was, you know, against NAFTA in the 90s. He's archived on that. You know, he was against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He's archived on that. You know, so like, on some shit, he's like, yeah, you know, for the laborer. You know, when at the same time he wants to sell the laborer his fucking snake oil, you know, fucking nutraceuticals and all that old bullshit. But, you know, he was talking that pro-labor shit on some level. But then, what a sellout, Jones. What a sellout. To talk all that shit. To be like, nigga, I'm for the proletariat. And you turn around and you rhetorically kiss the motherfuck feet of one of the, 500 richest people on the planet. And you just hail Trump like a motherfucker. Weak ass sellout. Jones is a fucking punk to the core. Such a little buster. Nigga, like really, he was on that shit, but now here you are, fucking kissing the fucking ring of a tacky ass one too. Thought you was one of them motherfuckers. No, carpetbaggers. Neo-Confederate ass motherfucker Alex Jones is kissing the feet of this fucking yellow-headed Yankee. What happened, Jones? Motherfucking sellout. You whack, nigga. You whack. Jesus Christ. You know what? Where's that fucking, where's that shit? Alright. Let's fucking bring that up. Right? I mean, everybody knows this clip.
He's got the biggest, juiciest fruits I've ever seen.
Right? Like, that's what he says about the fucking...
He's got the biggest, juiciest fruits I've ever seen.
Right? That's how Alex Jones talks about motherfuckers like Donald Trump now. You know, and I don't think I can access it quickly. I have my doubts, right? Like if I can access that full fucking clip. Like I might just end the Facebook Live. But then if I end the Facebook Live, then there might be a chance that y'all don't get to fucking hear it. Right, let's see. Was it in the show opener thing? Jones. Alright, so we have Jones. White on white, potty mouth Jones, feminist Alex Jones, Alex Jones talking about Madonna, Alex Jones talking about ne'er-do-well white people, which that sounds hilarious.
And they've created a giant army of mentally ill cultists who want race war in this country. They're a bunch of mentally ill, twisted, ne'er-do-well white people who bully and whip mainly black folks and Hispanics into hating white people. I mean, the everyone.
All right, but here it is, right? So I played that little bit a whole bunch, right? Where Jones says biggest, juiciest fruits I ever seen. But let's not forget what the there was a full segment to that. 54 seconds. Here we go.
I'm sitting there talking to my crew. We think about how iTunes has blocked us having our own podcast as video. They won't accept our videos on there. We've gone through the process for years. They just kicked Breitbart off. That was in the news. And it's just, we just take it. Oh, you just kick us off because they will dominate it. We'll be number one. Just like we'll dominate everything else we do because we know what we're talking about. And we'll defeat the globalists. Just like Trump's dominating on every front and they want to censor him and shut him down and not let you hear what he really has to say or does. So later I'm going to play his weekly address and we're going to play his speeches here. We're going to focus on it because you know what? I've looked at what he's doing. And Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, said, you judge a tree by its fruits. He's got the biggest, juiciest fruits I've ever seen.
And that's what you do now, Jones. You talked all that shit, and that's what the fuck you do now. WineCellarMedia.com. Fuck that, nigga. I will not sell out. All right, GoFundMe.com/Phoenix and William. Always be funded by the motherfucking people. We need our tax return, nigga. All right, we need our tax return. Thank you for hanging out in the wine cellar.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.